We are joined now on the Rumble Revolution Hotline by the voice of the Cowboys, Brad Sham. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys? What brings you to town?
Well, we just we wanted to come down and celebrate what was going on here. We're obviously watching closely what's going on with Cliff Lee and the Rangers and the Cowboys, and want to check on preparations from the city for the Super Bowl. So we were just kind of
there's a lot going on. Yeah, you came to a good place.
Yes, well, certainly was enjoying the atmosphere last night, a Monday night game at Cowboys Stadium. It's probably second to none, but obviously things didn't work out so well for the Cowboys. We had Stephen Jones on yesterday, and you could sense the desperation in his voice as we talked to him yesterday, and certainly had to be disappointing for the Jones family, and I'm sure for the broadcast crew last night, watching the Cowboys come up short and adding injury to insult, as we like to say, losing Tony Romo with a collarbone injury.
Yeah, I think they're linked. I mean, it was clear that everyone's performance changed after he got hurt, and that's disturbing to me because I understand when a star player gets hurt that it has an impact on everyone, but it shouldn't cause a shutdown. The astounding fact is that they were one recovered onside kick away from having a chance to win that game,
yeah.
And they shouldn't have been in position to win it. And you know, they've got multiple layers of problems, and Steven knows that way better than I do. The way the defense just collapsed in that period of time there from the middle of the second after Romo went out to sometime in the third when, you know, they scored on like five straight possessions or something, and that's distressing. And I think if you stand up and say, well, you know, it affected everybody when the quarterback got hurt, well, yes, of course it does. But if you're what you think you are defensively, then that's when you stand up and say, okay, well, we're going to have to stop this until the offense can find its legs. And they didn't do that. And it'll be interesting now to see what their approach is because, I mean, clearly, you know, John Kitna got a little rhythm and he got a little more effective as the game went on. And so you presume that, as he told us on our post-game show, and I'm sure he said it to a lot of other people, he's a different quarterback than Romo. He likes to do different things than Romo likes to do, so they'll put plays in for him. And, you know, you can go along and have an opportunity to win some games, and you may win some. And I have no idea how long Romo's going to be out. I'm just going to presume that it's going to be for the year, but he might not be. He might be able to come back and play a couple.
Mm-hmm.
But you've now lost five games. So, you know, pretty soon, I would say if you lose four more, then you're probably at a place where you're not going to be playing more than 16 games. They're probably not anyway, but as long as you mathematically have a chance, you keep fighting. But because of the games that they've already lost, one of the things I think they have to deal with is saying, all right, do we want our 38-year-old quarterback who's not going to be playing much longer, playing the rest of the year, or do we want to find out if we have anything in Stephen McGee? And on top of that, that's not the only injury they suffered. I mean, they're springing leaks because of age and injury in the offensive line, and that secondary is they're going to have to do some serious work on that today. I don't know how Terrence Newman kept playing. And I don't think he should have kept playing, except as I found him in the locker room after the game, and I said, I can't believe you were out there, and he said, I didn't have a choice. They only had three cornerbacks, and so they're going to have to – I don't know if Newman can play this week. Now, I'm not a doctor, and I may be speaking out of school. I just know from talking to people who have had rib cartilage injuries, including my – broadcast partner, when Bay Laufenberg was playing for the San Diego Chargers, Ricky Jackson, who's now in the Hall of Fame, gave him that injury, and it's a long time ago, and he's still talking about it. He said it's easily the most painful thing he's ever had, and Newman could barely take a breath. He couldn't stand up straight, and he was out there, and he couldn't tackle. That was pretty obvious. So they have more than just Romo's injury to deal with, and that's why I say they've got some decisions to make about the direction they want to go. And the problem is that even as bad as it is at 1-5, you're not mathematically eliminated. If something were to happen and you were to win a bunch of games, you're still in playoff contention, and you owe it to your players, you owe it to your fans, absolutely, to try to win every game. And then as management, they have to figure out what's also in the best long-range interest of the team and the fans and the franchise. And that's why they get the big bucks.
There you go. Brad Sham joining us in the zone, the voice of the Dallas Cowboys. And Brad, early on, after the first couple of turnovers, you score a touchdown on the first one, then you have to settle for three on the second one on an extremely short field. And, again, it was an opportunity missed there for to chance to get in the end zone and score seven. Again, it's you know, and we talked to Steven about this yesterday a little bit too. It's got to be frustrating because despite the issues defensively last night, and, you know, some of the problems occasionally on offense, and especially in the run game, this is a team that has played well for the most part through the year. They just haven't ended up on the right, you know, side of the win column enough.
Yeah, I don't know if I would agree that they've played well. They have done some very good things. They have played well enough in spots to have won most of the time if they were playing well. But you can't – last night was a complete anomaly from the other games. Because I had a number of people ask me, all right, what do they have to do? Before last night's game, I said, really, it's not very hard. You got to cover kickoffs. You got to stop making absolutely brain-dead, stupid penalties at the wrong time. And you got to protect the football. And forget about getting takeaways because this team's just not going to get any. Well, last night, their special teams coverage was the best it's been in a couple of years. They only had one turnover. They had five takeaways. I guess they had two turnovers. They had five takeaways. They only had five penalties, a season low. I mean, there was one point that we were looking at, Babe said, how is it that you're a plus three in the turnover, and statistically you win those games, I think, 90% of the time? How are you plus three, and you scored a special teams touchdown, and you're losing by 10 points or two touchdowns or whatever it was? I mean, that's hard to do. So I would quibble with saying that they played well. I think they played well enough to make it be really frustrating in the first five games to say we should be better than this, and maybe they're not. And now physically, I would say probably not.
Yeah, I guess what I was alluding to is the fact, I mean, with the defensive performance against the Vikings and playing well enough to win at times. And again, they're moving the ball, and we've seen this at times back home with, you know, the Razorbacks at times. They move the ball from, you know, 10 to 10, 20 to 20, whatever you want to look at, but just not punching it in there, putting points on the board and being able to win some of those close games. But
well, that's frustrating. I mean, yeah, it's easy to know when you're getting blown out, and, you know, I mean, I've been doing a lot of college games this year. I did the Alabama-Tennessee game the other night. Well, that was pretty easy to figure out, and that was easy to figure out going in.
But when you
seem to be, you know, matching up fairly well, and you're playing them head to head, and then you consistently make mistakes that's not necessarily because of what the other team is doing, that's really frustrating.
We are obviously, you know, sort of biased because we love Felix Jones being a former Razorback, but it would seem like the one thing that consistently has been missing is the run game. What's the deal there? I mean, is it the offensive line? You alluded to that a little bit. If you got to go in and say, okay, we got to fix this first, this is our most pressing issue, is that where you start up front?
I think offensive football always does that. But,
yeah,
you know, I think you have to kind of look at everything that you have. Because it would be easy to say that, but if they didn't have the wide receivers they had, then you'd say, well, yeah, that's great, but we got nobody to catch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're still trying to figure out a little bit what Felix is. I think they're kind of growing into that. Clearly his role was expanding, and I believe it'll continue to. It's hard to get away from the offensive line being the most important part of any offense. Now, you know, you better have a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that, you know, one of the things that when people talk about how talented they are and how they're this and they're that, and I've been a little bit uncertain about that all year because you can have the same, it's more true in professional football by a bunch than it is in college, because you can have the same guys who did things for you 3 years ago, and that doesn't mean they're the same players. In professional football, guys are now in their 30s, they're getting beat up, they're not necessarily capable of doing the things that you saw them do 2 and 3 years ago. And it doesn't take much in the NFL for, you know, if a back has taken a beating for a few years and now suddenly he's a step slower getting to that hole, if a lineman has been at it for a while and he cannot quite get there to keep that guy from getting across his face, and all of a sudden he's holding and doing things of that nature, it changes subtly and quickly. And I think that, yeah, I do think that that's the first place, given what they have, I would say that's the first place that you look. I think that they have to make sure that when he's healthy, this is the quarterback that that they feel can lead him. And they, you know, I think there's evidence that he can, and that they certainly have that investment in him. They've certainly got people who can catch it. You know, plenty of talent at tight end. And so I think they have to find a way to get that shored up in the offensive line. You know, look at some younger players. And as I said before, I think the difficulty for them right now is that they're in a limbo position for the season, because you have to keep trying to win games until you're mathematically eliminated. And then you can start saying, well, all right, do we need to, if we think Sam Young is a player who can play offensive tackle, do we need to find a way to get him in the lineup? But you can't do that while you're still mathematically alive and trying to win games.
Yeah, Brad Cham joining us, the voice of the Dallas Cowboys. Let's shift gears, talk about some things that are a little more positive in the Metroplex here, and certainly the Rangers, an organization you've been involved with in your broadcasting history, having a great year. And, of course, we're watching Cliff Lee closely, and certainly he's the straw that has stirred the drink for the Rangers in the postseason so far this year. He's been a huge asset to the team this year. Just you know, talk about what you've seen, and you know, I guess what the sort of the excitement level is. Maybe you can kind of give us a little better feel for Ranger fever here in the Dallas Metroplex.
Well, this is a winner's town. You know, all of them are, but this one I think is more than a lot of others I've seen. And you know, this kind of came somewhat out of nowhere, because the competition in their division wasn't necessarily the best in all of baseball, so I don't know how many people were really expecting them to get to the World Series. Cliff Lee obviously was a big difference maker, and for everyone who is a Ranger fan, you know, I think they are pulling for the Arkansas connection to make that, you know, a big part of what decision he makes when the season's over. And I don't know Cliff. I know a lot of people over there. I do still follow them very closely, but maybe it's just because, like everyone else in our part of the country, I don't like to see folks from New York just decide because they're from New York they get what they want. But I really kind of hope that he it sounds to me, when you read quotes from not just him but people close to him, that you know, the fact that he's so close to home playing here, he's obviously someone whose family is paramount in his life, and so the fact that he's so close to home, I think, is not something that you should dismiss when it comes time to figuring out what decision he's going to make. But that's down the road a little bit. I mean, right now, this is an absolutely magic time. And I go back with the Rangers I started covering sports here before there were the Rangers, before, when they were still in Washington. I covered Ted Williams' first news conference. Oh my goodness. And I have personal experience with some of the most bizarre moments in sports history, which happened to be Rangers history. And I was fortunate enough to be working with Eric Nadell on the broadcast when they made the playoffs for the first time in the middle 90s. And so for them to be in the World Series, it's a huge deal. Personally, I think it's bigger than a sports story when you look at the year they had with all of the bankruptcy action that they were going through and everything else, and the way that those people pulled together and for each other, and it's all of the things, all of the very best things that sports is all about.
Yeah.
And so it's a real feel good kind of a warm fuzzy. And I will tell you also, as someone who's been around here a while, you know, the Cowboys inspire such passion that when they're going poorly and they're supposed to be bad, which doesn't happen often, there's just kind of a, oh, you know, it's kind of like a dull toothache. But when they're supposed to be good and they're bad, which has been the case this year, that inspires a real bile-inducing anger. And there's a lot of negativity in the air, and I don't like that. And I think that can happen around a college team. I mean, I'm sure you guys have all seen years when the Hogs were supposed to be good. Someone said they were going to be good. Pick whatever sport you want, but especially football in our part of the country. Right. And then they turn out not to be good. Well, that, you know what? That's just not going to get her done. And folks get angry. And the Rangers have taken a little bit of an edge off that. There's a warm fuzzy around that, and so people can kind of turn their attention. And that has literally never happened before. And it's interesting, I think, in the long range, the dynamic in terms of the kind of, I don't want to say pressure, I think that's the wrong word, but incentive it gives Cowboys management for getting the right answers. I mean, I do believe that a high tide lifts all boats, but I also know that when Tex Schramm was running the Cowboys, he said publicly all the, you know, boy, it's great when the Rangers are good, if the Mavericks are good, if whatever, but that's not what he wanted. He wanted the Cowboys to be good and dominant and everybody else to stink. and I understood that. I didn't agree with it, but I did understand it.
Sure.
Now, I don't know. I've never had that conversation with Jerry. I suspect that there's a little of both feelings in him. But what Jerry Jones does know more than most people is the marketplace and competition. And he knows very well that people have short attention spans and shorter pockets. And if you've got one sports franchise that's not yours, that people feel good about, and they're dominating, and yours is disappointing and frustrating, that's not good for business. And he'll figure out a way to get that addressed. That's a long way from Cliff Lee and everything else. But,
yeah.
You know, I think it's really a fascinating thing to watch. And it's been I think it's been great, and it's going to be great for this area. Now we'll see how much going forward the Rangers fans stay with this franchise going into next year and after that when they're not winning World Series.
That's fascinating. Sociology of Dallas sports. I mean, it definitely is an interesting perspective. One last thing here. I was going to ask you about your alma mater, too, having a great year and
coming off
a good win against Oklahoma. So, yeah, what a year for the Tigers. You buying this team? You think
no,
this
well,
is the team?
Look, let me tell you what. When Missouri played Arkansas in the Cotton Bowl a few years ago, and I happened to do that game.
We don't have to talk about that.
All right. The only reason I mention it is that that was the first time that Missouri had been in a New Year's Bowl since my junior year. Okay, and I'm getting up there. So that was a long time ago. In baseball, as much as I love the Rangers, by birth, I'm a Cub fan. So I'm not in any of this for the winning. I'm in this for the enjoyment of watching my team. So when you say to me, you know, Missouri's having a great year, well, the way we look at it is. And I say we, I'm talking about alumni and fans of the school. You know, they didn't beat anybody for a while, so I fully did not expect them to be in the game with Oklahoma, although they have played good defense. I will give them that. Mm-hmm. And I do think they're a good defensive team. Now, I will tell you, just as sure as we're sitting here talking on Tuesday morning, I just expect them to get their lunch handed to them in Lincoln. because Missouri doesn't beat Nebraska. But then Missouri doesn't beat Oklahoma either. And, you know, I think that it's fun, it's exciting when your team, it looks like it might kind of start doing a little something, but especially when they seem to have a foundation. You know, as fans, we all want championships. But I really think that the thing that we are entitled to when we expend our emotion and our energy, as well as our money, I think what we're entitled to is that whether it's a college team or a professional team, that they compete hard all the time. We would like to see them be good enough to be in the running. And then I think if they win every now and then, that's just gravy. Now, I know a lot of fans don't agree with that. I absolutely know a lot of Cowboy fans don't agree with that. But I just feel that if I'm putting my money out and if I'm giving you my emotional investment, that's what I'm entitled to. So as a Missouri fan, sometimes that doesn't happen. So when when they beat Oklahoma and they're, you know, they're ranked up there. But I'm not looking. I said something to somebody the other day about, gosh, maybe Missouri could come back to the Cotton Bowl. And somebody, a friend of mine who's an Ohio State fan, as a matter of fact, he said, "Whoa, don't think about that. They could be in the BCS." I said, "Oh, please, just stop. You know, this is, you go talk to, go be your little old Ohio State self, or talk to someone from Alabama about all that stuff." I think I just have more of an, I'm enjoying watching some friends of mine. I had some buddies in the booth last night who are Baylor fans. You know, that's the same kind of thing as with the Rangers or the Saints last year. What fun when you don't expect anything, and all of a sudden things kind of work out. And that is, to bring us full circle, the complete antithesis of the Cowboys. The Cowboys' success since the middle 60s has led their fans to have a certain sense of entitlement. And that entitlement, unfortunately, turns to anger pretty quickly when it's not met. And I think that's too bad. And I don't think that's a problem with the teams. I think that's a problem with the fans.
Well, I am likewise a Cubs fan from birth. And
there we go.
And I went to Iowa State. So trust me, Brad.
We're singing out of the same hymn book right there.
Oh, there is no doubt. Well, anyway,
Brad,
I'm glad we got
I do have a quick question for Brad. As I'm looking through your bio here, you've done everything from the Olympics, Major League Soccer, obviously the NFL, Major League Baseball. You've also done arena football and University of Texas football and basketball. What was the most challenging of all of those that you had to do?
Oh, what an interesting question.
Thank you very much, Amount.
The most challenging would have been the first time I did a soccer game, because it was in about 1971 or two, and I'd never seen one. I did a game on television, the Dallas Tornado, the old North American Soccer League, and I was a young guy in town, and no one was paying attention to them, and I kind of went to some of their practices and stuff just because I knew nobody else was, and they did a game on a local game on a local telecast. I mean, I was really young. I was in my 20s. The general manager said, "Hey, we got this team coming in from Monterrey, Mexico. We're gonna put it on television. We'd like to have you, you know, do the. Our star player is injured, so he'll be your analyst, and we'd like to have you do." I said, "Oh no, I can't. I can't do that. I don't know anything. I mean, I don't know the rules. I don't know." You guys are gonna laugh when I tell you this, but I promise you. All right, thank you. That's the dog chipping in. I promise I am not exaggerating. I said, "I don't know the rules. I don't know the names of the positions. I don't know." He said, "We'll pay you $50. I said, "What time does it start?" So that was challenging.
That's awesome. Well, you know what, Brad? I appreciate you coming on with us very much, and I hope we can do it again. Really enjoyed it, and I'm glad we got a chance to talk about some positive things, because I'm going to assume the majority of the time people pick your brain about things, it's going to be solely about the Cowboys, and that may not be a lot of fun as the season goes on.
Well,
so,
you know, but fun is what you make it. I'm going to, there's 10 weeks left of this season, and I'm going to enjoy every game because I'm just so blessed to be able to do this. I'm not going to enjoy the results necessarily, but I'm going to enjoy the opportunity If people can't enjoy watching a football game, as long as the team, this is what people are bothered by, I think, that it looks like they're not really trying hard. If the team's trying hard, then I think that's all they can ask. And so I'm going to be really anxious to watch them, see how they kind of handle their business about going forward as this year goes on. And meanwhile, as I said, I'm doing a college game every week on Westwood One, and so I just got my assignment for next week. I'm going to get a firsthand look at the Hogs in South Carolina.
Oh, great!
And I'm really kind of, as I'm also on the Cotton Bowl's board, and you know, we love having the Hogs here. If they don't win the West and they're not, you know, in a bigger bowl, I'm really interested to see if maybe the Razorbacks playing down here in the Cotton Bowl would be something that would happen. So when Texas lost to UCLA, I sent the president of the Cotton Bowl a text, and I said, I'll take Texas and Arkansas right now. No questions asked.
Yeah.
Now, the Razorbacks, of course, had bigger hopes, and you never know what will happen. But it's a fun season to watch, and that kind of takes your mind off things a little bit, too.
Tony Temple's gone, right? Because we don't want to see him ever again.
Well, he's not playing for Missouri. I don't think he's gone, but he's not playing for Missouri.
Well, no, yeah. I mean, that's good. I think he's actually. I think he's still running from that game. I think he had 250 yards or something.
He had a decent. He had a decent afternoon, as I recall.
He didn't have a bad day. Well, I just hope that if we match up again, I hope it's more like the 2003 Independence Bowl than the last time we mentioned the Cotton Bowl, because we actually won that one. So that
well, you know, at that point, if it was Missouri and Arkansas. I would say let's just have a good game, and I would think that we would.
Okay. Well, Brad, we appreciate it very much, and I hope we can run you down again later in the season.
Sure. You guys know where I am.
Okay. Thanks so much. Thanks,
Brad.
Okay, fellas. Thanks.